the Minivate Gang Podcast, episode 183. I'm Steve Borsch, and I'm on with Tim Elliott.
Good morning.
Graham Thickens.
Hey, greetings from a cool September morning.
And Phil Wilson.
It's not revolution, it's evolution blues.
Well, that's Mean Gene Kelton, who unfortunately was in a car crash in 2010 and is gone, but...
But his music lives on the Minute Eight podcast.
Well, and I keep finding these artists who I go, geez, they're just great. And, you know, like Stevie Ray Vaughan, I found several years ago and after he was gone, of course. But anyway, let's talk about uplifting things like the launch, the relaunch or the full launch or however you want to put it of TDS / Vizzy's Relia Cloud.
How many launches do they get?
I thought they launched that a while back, didn't they?
They did, but now they're fully launching it. Yeah.
I wrote the post in October 2009. So
I would like to personally say, I think it takes great self-control for such an Apple fanboy like you to lead with that story.
We'll get to that.
I got to tell you, I'm very impressed and I'm somewhat proud. I think I'm tearing up.
Restraint lives.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well,
anyway, talk about Relia Cloud.
Yeah. Yeah. So
well, I put that in because I thought that it had come out like a couple years ago. So I thought I hope that Graham could shed some light on it.
Yeah, I already commented on the story. It's I said, this sounds familiar. And then I said, you know, it brings up that age-old existential question. How many times can one thing launch?
Yeah, yeah.
but I understand. They're under new ownership. You know, I noticed in the release, Steve, that they even have a new president, which I wasn't even aware of. Who's that guy?
Well, he's, I don't know.
TDS guy or
I
don't what?
Know. Yeah, he's a TDS guy, I think.
Jason Baker, the CTO, is the constant there for us. I mean, we go way back with him. But when were they acquired by TDS? That's got to be a year and a half, 2 years ago now.
Exactly.
But they did originally launch Relia Cloud with some fanfare in October of 2009.
I remember.
Easy for me to say, the positioning for it is still mid to upper tier enterprise organizations.
Right.
It's really not a competition for startups like with Amazon Web Services and Rackspace.
Right. And they now with the TDS affiliation have offer it via data centers here and in Wisconsin and in Iowa. So they got the Midwest covered pretty decently.
Yep.
And there's a lot of companies that want to use a cloud provider that's in their own state, you know, and there are many, many reasons for that beyond just, you know, the comfort factor of knowing where your data is and being able to drive over to your data center and pay him a visit, you know.
Right, right. To keep Phil happy, let's talk about the iPhone launch.
No, it's not. It's not by no means. I just wanted to let you guys know how proud I was of you. So
thanks, Phil.
It's wonderful.
Thanks.
He's just following the bouncing ball.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's just dive into that. I mean, it was amazing that there weren't a lot of surprises.
There were none.
Well,
there were no surprises.
Well, the rollout schedule was amazing, and that surprised a hell of a lot of people, including a lot of analysts. So, but you know, that's not product related specifically, but they are going to kick major butt rolling this thing out in I don't know how many countries, way more than previous models.
Well, I had somebody email me a picture of the future iPhone 10.
And
I tweeted it, and it was. You know, it's basically an iPhone with like 40 rows of icons. The thing looks like a sword. You know?
Oh, God.
You could run a complete piano application on it with all the keys.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Did you see the Kimmel video? We'll post it in the show notes, but the Kimmel video where they actually went out and put an iPhone 4S in people's hands and said it was the new iPhone. Oh yeah, this is much better. Oh, I see. This is great.
Well,
yeah.
And one woman who had an iPhone 4 said, yeah, it is faster. It's really snappy.
Look at that. That's just, so much faster.
Expected.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Do a number on that.
So the question is, Steve, are you getting one? Graham, are you getting one?
Oh yeah.
Well, I will, but I'm still under contract until May. And so I'm not in a huge hurry.
Yeah, but you have three people in your household that are up for renewals, and you get to exert Steel. Your executive privilege. So,
well, I'm paying the bill every month, so that should be worth something.
You could always buy them unlocked. I think they're $650, $750, and $850.
Your money, Tim, I'd do that.
$649. Yep.
I'm guessing that Steve will have one by. We'll have ordered one by Thursday of next week.
Okay. Well, we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Tim, what do you think? You know, you and I are the Android boys. What do you think?
It's not enough to get me to switch over. I mean, if they had supported T-Mobile, it would probably be much more attractive, but they're not going to do that. So, yeah. No, I think I'm going to stay Android.
But you will be able to get an unlocked one and use it on T-Mobile.
Right,
they're doing some things with their network, right?
It's only Edge. So,
aren't they engaged in a major network upgrade?
When they do their LTE, I think it will be supported.
Yeah.
But they have not done their LTE yet. As if you watch TV, you'll see the Verizon ad point out repeatedly.
Yeah.
Have you seen that ad where they have all the 4G things in there, and they're saying that that LTE is the only 4G, and they have all the graph, and Verizon's a big bar, and then all the other vendors are much smaller bars.
No, I've not seen. I haven't seen that,
including T-Mobile, where there's not a bar at all.
Jeez.
Yeah, but let me tell you something else. Did you read that post about how neither Verizon nor Sprint will support simultaneous voice and data on the iPhone 5.
Yeah, well, I thought that was a CDMA limitation and not an LTE limitation.
That's a CDMA limitation that you can't do it. Yeah, but supposedly, I can't remember, but not Sprint, but I think AT&T is trying to figure a way around that or something.
Well,
you can do it on AT&T.
Oh, no, I see Verizon trying to work a way around it. But what was probably more disturbing to me was, as I consider this phone purchase, you look at LTE rolling out, and I'm a Sprint guy, so you see the LTE rolling out everywhere but in Minneapolis. Yeah, Minneapolis is not on the list of 100 places that are set to get LTE from Sprint in the near future. So there's no date on that. It's like, well, wait a minute. So look, I want to go out and buy a phone that's, I can't really take full advantage of for at least probably a year. I don't know. It's
tough. And if you buy an unlocked one, you got to know which one you want to buy. So, there's some considerations there, And if you're going to be moving soon and you don't know which carrier you want to use it kind of halts your decision making there a little bit.
So we talked a little bit about, I alluded to, at least at the top of the show, about the, it's not revolution, it's evolution concept of, now because of the success of the iPhone and because of, the rate at which technology is growing, everything seems to be more of a tweak and less magical or really wowing. I think you can look at 90% of the reviews and articles about the iPhone rollout, the iPhone 5 rollout, and they all pretty much say, "Oh, it's great, but it's kind of dull. Nothing really going on." Is there another big thing that we're going to get excited about in the smartphone space?
Well, it's. I'm sure there can be a continued feature function race that goes on with these things, but I'll put this in the show notes. But the Pew Internet updated their March 2012 report about smartphone ownership in the U.S. Mm-hmm. and said that now 45% of American adults own smartphones. And they're particularly popular with young adults, with 66% of those ages 18 to 29 owning them And 68% of those living in households earning 75K and above also own them. So, you know, the penetration is pretty strong, but it is globally. I mean, the acceleration, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but how much can you do? I mean, there are a couple of guys that I follow on Twitter that were whining about the boring iPhone rollout, and boy, there wasn't much new, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, yeah, that's because Apple didn't announce a holodeck and a replicator, you know? Yeah. I mean, it's like...
Yeah. They didn't bring back Steve Jobs to do it.
You know? Right. Well,
does it have to do with design? Because the 5 is very similar to the iPhone 4, and that was the last time they really made any kind of design leap, was from the 3G to the 4.
Well, yeah. I think it's a leap to have that extra row of apps and the lightness factor and the thinness factor. I mean, I'm really reading things about people saying it's just amazingly light. And, you know, I think it's a pretty decent upgrade. And what they're doing, I mean, the processor alone is enough to get me excited. And, you know, lots of reason that and these people that whine about how it was boring, I can't even believe it. And this connector thing, I'm really starting to get sick of that. People whining about, it's like, what are they paying monthly to use their smartphone, and they're whining about having to buy a new connector? I mean,
well, but do you need to buy, doesn't the phone come with a connector?
Yes, it does.
They're whining about not being able to use their old stupid connectors. Who the hell cares? You know, well, the damn things are getting frayed anyway.
You would care if you went out and you bought a Bose, music system that's got an adapter built in, or
a Sonos, or you have one in your car,
right?
I mean, stuff like that. But you can buy an adapter for $29. So,
right.
Well, I thought it was interesting, and I'll dig it up and put it in the show notes. But there's a site called MacGasm, and the guy did a post and had a picture of the 18 connectors that Samsung has had for their smartphones over the course of the last, 8 years or something. And
you know, isn't it the other end of the connector that's really kind of the important part?
Yeah.
I mean, and that's standard USB. So, hey, there you go.
Yep.
Yeah. But I thought that was really funny to see that photo, because it's true. I don't know if you remember when Martha Stewart was at some executive level conference, and she stood up and she pulled out of her purse this rat's nest of cables and connectors and said, there's all technology leaders on the dais. And she said, would you guys please come up with one adapter that we can all use? Because it's true, you know.
And then give me the heads up on it so I can buy stock.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Oh, man.
So what was the nicest feature? What's the nicest feature, guys? Graham, it seems like you're most impressed with the processor speed.
Well, yes. And having another row of apps. I mean, how can that not help, you know? But stream sharing of photos, which I realized was announced at the developers conference, I guess. But that'll be a fun thing to be able to share photos, instantly, a whole group of photos with friends and family, and the social integration that they have now with Facebook, and Ping is dead, God rest its soul, and the social integration, I think, is going to be a very well used feature, let's face it. So, those are some things right off the top of my head. And, I like the new connector. I love the idea of the new EarPods. Can't wait to get my hands on those. And, it's going to be an amazingly better overall experience in a number of ways, in my view.
If that battery life is true, which it more than likely is, it's amazing they were able to do that with an LTE radio in it.
Yeah. And in such a small form factor.
Yeah. There's some amazing engineering feats going on here behind the scenes. And, and that's why they showed all the, the videos of the machining and, Johnny Ive talking about how haven't they been working on these EarPods for like 3 years or something? And, you know, and they've sold like 600 billion earbuds or something like that, or 600 million, I guess it is. But now it's a whole new generation.
But let's stand back and just look at the space and look at what the space is doing for the rest of all of us who are involved in technology, involved in business at all, or education. When you have at your fingertips a device that is, you know, probably 100x more powerful than what we put on the lunar module when they went to the moon, and people can access information and knowledge and everything on the fly instantaneously. I mean, how amazing is that when you really step back and think about it?
Yeah, it is.
It's it really is.
It's pretty freaking amazing. How about that?
Well, and the only thing, you know,
that'll do.
When you get all goosey about it, though, the only thing that really makes me stand back for a moment with pause is when you think about the fact that LTE isn't LTE isn't LTE around the world. And I can't take my phone and go anywhere on the planet, you know, and have it work with mobile connections. You know, it's still, you got to jump through a crap load of hoops to be able to get there. And that's not that great.
Well, if you have an unlocked GSM phone, you're pretty much covered all over the world.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
You know, at least for the basic services, and you can get 3G. So,
yeah. Yeah, well, my daughter's got an unlocked iOS or a iPhone 4S, and she's going to sell it and buy a new iPhone 5. Because she's pretty pumped.
Oh yeah, but she'll get a good amount of money for an unlocked iPhone 4S too, I would think.
Probably about $500. Yeah.
Yeah.
By Thursday, Steve Borsch will be ordering. Can you actually get your hands on an iPhone 4 or 5 if you go to the store? Is it out there to touch and feel?
Oh no, not until next Friday.
Yeah, okay,
right. Yeah, and did I already read?
Please order a pig and a poke. Go for it, guys.
are the pre-orders already sold out? Did I read that you're unless you got your order now, and you won't be getting one on the 19th.
Right.
Well, unless you go and wait in line. You can wait in line at the store.
Well, yeah, but I mean, doing the online ordering thing is already too late.
Yeah.
That's what I thought I read.
Yeah. Say, can we just also, before we bring on our guest, to talk for just a second about our pals at Best Buy?
Yes.
There was an article in the Star Tribune this morning about them reallocating 2,000 loss prevention people into sales, because they're trying to drive sales. And one of you guys put in here about this Best Buy takes on Radio Shack and the mobile strip mall push.
Yeah.
And so, in fact, Best Buy is building a freestanding store down in Burnsville.
Yep.
And my daughter is going to be one of the leads down there when it opens in early October.
Oh, she's left Apple?
Yeah, she got a great gig with this.
Oh, great.
And so
yeah, I think I don't think Apple was going anywhere. So that was I think it's a good move.
It's a good move for her.
It is. Well, Best Buy still sells Apple. So
you know, I think I got to tell you, I drove past that store the other day. I got to tell you, it makes you feel kind of good to think, you know, here's a company that is struggling, but they're still building, they're still doing new stores, and they still are. You know, they're still swinging for the fences.
Well, that's because the mobile strategy is working so well. It's such a small footprint, but, you know, they really can sell a lot of high-margin devices in there.
But that's going to be a big-box store, right? I mean, that's a big store.
What, the Burnsville? Yeah, it's in the old Circuit City.
Store. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of interesting that they're building another big-box store, but their strategy is to go back small.
Well, I'm sure they got a good deal on the building, and they had that really weird old store.
Yeah, right. And tucked away.
It's down in Burnsville Center, which is probably like one of the old stereo.
Yeah.
That was number two store, I think. Yep.
Stereo West. Wasn't that what it was?
So they're finally. So I think that's just that, because they're going to close the Lakeville store, which they built new 5 years ago or whatever.
I think Tim's going to buy that to open his new, I don't know.
What are, right.
His new Pilates.
Yeah. You know. There you go.
Well, you know, we've talked a lot about mobile, guys. Why don't we talk a little bit about mobile app development and the money to be made in mobile app development with our guests? Should we do that?
I would sure. think that would be just terrific. Let's give them a call.
Try to do that.
Tell us about them.
I will do that for you as well. We are about to talk with Whit Schrader, and Whit is with MentorMate and about MobCon and Mob Demo. And I bet you
Whit's good morning. Coming. This is Whit.
There he is. Hi, Whit. It's Phil Wilson.
And Steve Borsch.
Hi. Steve Borsch good is morning. With me. And also Tim Elliott and Graham Thickens. Thanks very much Hello. For being with us today.
Good morning.
All right. So first and foremost, let's talk about MobCon, which is a mobile conference coming up in November. We've spent a lot of time over the last 3 years with Mobile March here at Minovate, and we're glad to see that there's another mobile event coming to the fall time of year for us. So tell us first about MobCon.
Sure. Well, MobCon is it's a convention where we're bringing thought leaders and business leaders all in the same room together to discuss all things mobile, mobile strategy, mobile technology, leading innovations. And it'll be this November and held here in Minneapolis.
Sounds great. So it's at the Hilton downtown. So, and tickets are now available and a good lineup of speakers. Now, Whit, you and I got connected through Mobile Twin Cities, and we've got a very exciting thing going on at MobCon for developers especially. So tell us all about Mob Demo.
Oh, sure. So we're really excited about Mob Demo. The focus of Mob Demo is that we're going to give some startup capital or some growth capital to businesses that have developed innovative mobile technology, and we're giving a cash prize of $5,000 and $20,000 of mobile development credit to any business that that wins the Mob Demo Prize. So what we're doing is we're going to review applicants until November 1st, and then whittle it down to a finalist pool of six, and then all of the participants at MobCon will vote on the winner.
Now, do they have to have, this is Steve, do they have to have a working demo of some kind, or is it just a plan for the app?
No, they have to have a working demo. We want to be able to demonstrate what it's doing and hopefully what it's done already, how it's impacted the market. So we can't fund ideas.
Got it.
Yeah, so it's very exciting. You know that we've done demo events at Mobile March in the springtime. And I think this is really exciting. You know, when Mobile Twin Cities hooked up with Mob Demo and they were gracious enough to bring us on board as part of the event, and then, you know, say, oh, by the way, the demo we want to plant, we're going to go ahead and give away a lot of cash. It's like, I can remember sitting in the meeting and it started at $1,000. It just keeps getting bigger. So I'm hoping to get on the phone with Whit next week and be able to give away more. So.
Yeah, it's been fun, and we realize that you know, this is a bigger prize, and sort of on par with some of the accelerators on the East and West Coast for what they give away to startup businesses. So we're excited to be in that league or on that level.
Sounds great. Well, tell us briefly a little bit about some of the speakers and some of the things that probably are exciting you most about MobCon coming up.
Well, I'm excited to hear Wade Beavers talk. He's the CEO of DoApp and a partner with MentorMate. Some of the topics that will be covered are the continued penetration of mobile and marketing, and that's something that that Wade's going to be speaking to. Michael Moe, co-founder and CEO of GSV Asset Management. We're really lucky to have him. He was the pivotal decision maker to Facebook's original valuation of $3 billion. Now, I mean, we can all smile and say, well, is that a good or a bad thing? But he really is a decision maker and a mover and shaker. And so I'm excited to see him and hopefully meet him. Another that I've personally recruited is Lars Odson, who's invented some mobile technology that improves balance. It could greatly reduce healthcare costs. So I'm excited to see him speak as well.
Well, and I just noticed that a guy that I've known for about 30 years, a buddy of mine, Eric Johnson, who's the CEO of Sangari Active Science, is also speaking on marketing, new market entry via mobile. And and it's a really an interesting mix. It's a really interesting group of people that are leading these various sessions. Digital strategy at General Mills, SAP consultant, a chief strategy officer, yada yada. I mean, it's a good strong mix of people.
Thank you. We're really proud of the that are going to be kicking this off, and I hope you can join us.
Well, it sounds great. Well, listen, Whit, if developers or businesses want to enter their demo for consideration, they can go to mobcon.com and mob demo and go ahead and submit. And the way it works is there'll be a panel of judges, I guess, and they'll choose the finalists for the event. And then basically attendees at MobCon are the ones that are going to actually pick the winner. Am I right?
That's correct. So that's really one of the most exciting pieces of this, is that we'll whittle it down to the final six, and we'll have the crowd decide.
That'll be great.
Well, and I should also mention that for anyone that goes to the MobCon website, it is, in fact, responsive design. I'm sure that Mike Bollinger had something to do with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, we designed the website ourselves, but we're excited to have Mike be part of the of MobCon, be a speaker.
Great. Good.
That sounds wonderful. Well, it's great. And so you can register now, right?
Absolutely. If you go to mobcon.com/mobdemo, at the bottom, you can apply and just fill in the forms, and then we'll be in touch.
That sounds great. So, and be sure if you don't have an app that you want to enter, but you're interested in mobile and the mobile growth and various markets and segments of mobile, you want to check out MobCon on November 13th and 14th, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Sounds great. Whit, thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It was great talking with y'all.
We'll talk to you soon.
I'll see you later.
All right.
Thanks, Whit.
Thanks so much. Take care.
Bye-bye. Well, it looks like a good event.
Yeah, it should be a good event. So, and it's always good to see mobile getting its due. And from my standpoint as an involvement in Mobile March and Mobile Twin Cities, it's just, we were looking to move Mobile 3D, which was our demo event from Mobile March, and move it into the fall. And when I saw these guys rolling out, it was an opportunity kind of for us to work together. I was real happy that we could put something together with MobCon. So Mobile Twin Cities will be part of that panel and also a sponsor of that mob demo. So
I see they're charging $595 for the 2-day event.
I said, I believe we'll have a discount for that event. So I'll let you know. And as soon as we pass that along, we'll pass that to Minovate readers.
Are they going to be trying to draw from outside the state then?
I would hope so regionally.
Yeah, because obviously a lot of startups aren't going to be spending that kind of money to go to an event of that price, I wouldn't think. But maybe they'll have a startup rate. I don't see that on their site yet. But
yeah, I'm not really sure. So, it should be a good event, and we'll see. We'll see how it works out. I think it's good to have stuff going on in the colder months of the year in mobile.
Oh yeah. Yep.
So, what else is going on, guys?
Well, who put this link in here for Docs Out?
I did.
First off, I troll TechCrunch. They're in my newsreader feed. I didn't see this. And
yeah, you
there was that Disrupt, and you've got to watch that video because
really?
I read it and I thought, oh, this sounds like a reasonably interesting idea. But when you watch the video and you watch how the iPad changes into basically a laptop keyboard and mouse pad, it's just an amazing transformation. So basically the idea is it's going to be for iOS. You can run it on an iPad or iPhone. And you plug in via the connector to a monitor. I think they support either HDMI or I think it's only HDMI actually.
Well, this looks like a VGA out though on the video.
But what it does is it turns your iPad into basically a computer that shows Google Docs. So you've got the full Google Docs on your screen, and then the iPhone or iPad turns into a full keyboard with a little area for your mouse, or you can use a Bluetooth keyboard. So yeah. I just thought it was an interesting idea, and it looks like a really good app to use.
You got to hand it to these guys trying to bring Apple and Google together.
Well, yeah, but I will tell you that and Phil, I turned you onto this for your iPad and the Google search app, you know, it's a little blue icon with the G on it.
But it's still kind of clunky.
It is kind of clunky, but you've got application. If you're signed in, you can touch applications, then you've got Gmail, calendar, docs, all that. And it does in fact act in some ways like a Chromebook. And so you can access a lot of the Google apps. And yes, I know it's not like having native apps, but you know, Google Plus, Gmail, those are all available as native apps on the iPad. So you can kind of see where this is going, where you can have more of an integrated experience. I don't know how Google did it either, but in the new Chrome browser, if you're using the Gmail app for your email and you touch a link, it actually pulls up the Chrome browser instead of the native Safari. Really? So I'm kind of surprised that Apple let that one get through and didn't do anything about it. But what it does is it goes to show that, you know, you could potentially have a Google front end app that would allow you to access all the other apps on the iPad. So just kind of an interesting twist on the whole thing. That's why I was interested in this DocsOut. I'll watch the video afterwards, Tim.
Yeah, no, it looks really good. And it'll be interesting to see how much they charge for the app and if they bring it to Android, which you'd think they would do if they were successful.
Yeah. Well, so one of the predictions I made at the beginning of the year is that we would see more tools, higher level tools, to be able to develop apps and to be able to publish. And when iBooks Author came out from Apple, I was pretty excited about that. But I got to tell you, it's like nothing's going on. Have you guys seen anything?
You still have the rest of the year. Don't worry, Steve.
I mean, I love developers, but you know, rather than be able to pass on all my raw video to a video editing group and facility and let them use their Avid to do whatever, I'd much rather have Final Cut on my own computer and be able to edit my own stuff. And it's the same thing with an iPad. You know, sometimes you don't need the most incredible, elaborate app. You just need to have something that's semi-native that works well. And there just really aren't any high-level tools out yet.
I don't think it's easy enough to develop apps.
Yeah, probably.
You know? I mean, there are some tools that allow you to do HTML5 stuff, but that's still not like native. So to develop a native app, you really have to, I think, you know, use the higher level tools, which are harder to learn.
They are. Yeah.
Well, hey, listen, before we completely detach ourselves from the iPhone rollout, there's a couple of things. First, we ought to talk about the iPod change and the iPod refresh.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think the iPod, and I was trying to kind of figure out, you know, what are the opportunities from an enterprise standpoint for the iPod? It was a discussion I was having with Lou Miranda over at Magenic. He's their their lead mobile guy, and I was talking with him about that. Do you see any opportunities in the enterprise for the iPod rather than the iPhone?
If they added a data plan, yes, but until they do that, it's going to be really limited.
Yeah.
So it's strictly an entertainment device still.
Well, no, you can do stuff on it as long as you have a Wi-Fi connection. And, you know, I guess for some maybe in-store types of applications, that would be okay. That would work, but it would require Wi-Fi. I think that for any kind of enterprise level application, you really do need persistent data. So having, you know, a 3 or 4G data plan connected to it, like you do with the iPad.
Right.
I think that would really make it a much more interesting product, but Apple probably won't do that because it conflicts with their carrier relationships with the iPhone.
Well, my question would be: is there a cost savings opportunity by doing that? It seems like it's somewhat redundant, and you know, you basically get the same services without the phone piece. Would it be substantially less expensive to do that? I don't know if it would be.
It probably would be because the device itself is what it starts at $299 now.
Yes.
Right.
And to get a even base level iPhone, it's at least $650 without the data plan.
Right.
So you've got savings there, and then, you know, the monthly fee for the, you know, for your wireless plan is where you really spend the big money.
Right.
So, you know, if you take a look at the total cost of ownership of the two, the iPod Touch is a lot less expensive. Okay. But you just don't have that wireless connectivity. So I think there would be they would sell a lot more of them. I know I would be one of the first in line if they had that same, you know, iPad, like I could buy a month of 3G when I need it sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause you could use, you could use Skype and have a phone number on Skype or use Google Voice or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, the Google Voice wouldn't work cause you can't make outbound yet.
I don't know if I drop my other phone plan for it, but it would still make the device much more usable for me.
Yeah.
So, I mean, crazily enough, if they did that, you might drop, the smartphone plan and just go back to a regular voice line, you know?
Yeah.
And something like an iPad or an iPod Touch for your main smartphone-like applications.
You know, you could carry a prepaid MiFi like I do with, my Virgin Mobile and just pay $20 at a time to, you know, get some bandwidth and, you know, use it anywhere. Yeah, also, within an enterprise four walls situation, it's a great little pocket email connector for everybody. But, you know, you can do email and social, you know, and will enterprises buy it for their 3,000 employees so they can all conveniently do email from their pocket? I don't think so, but...
Well, I would say that, you know, if there was, in fact, a rumor that was true about an iPad mini, I would say that would make more sense for the enterprise because I'm sure you'll be able to get a data plan on that. And that would, I would think, because, you know, when I saw this device, as I said to myself immediately, wouldn't this be great? For even my dad, just to do FaceTime with the rest of the family. And then I thought, no, it's too small. But an iPad mini would be perfect. Mm. But this thing here is, you know, if there was one surprise about both this iPod Touch and the iPhone is that they didn't have a 128 gig option.
Yeah,
so it's still 1632/64. And I guess maybe the memory is still too expensive, but I would think that, you know, with the volumes that Apple's buying, that there's a way to get that price down.
I don't think there's a huge demand when you get over 64 gigs. I think they found that out with the iPod, the classic iPod.
Mm-hmm.
Is remember they had it? What did they get up to? 160 gigs, I think, something like that.
Oh yeah, and people didn't fill it.
Well, there was that, you know, the very specialized people, like if you're a DJ or something, you'd fill it up, but not a lot of people use that sort of capacity, right?
Yeah.
And regular people were happy with 60 or 80 gigs. I mean, I know that I had an 80 gigger and that was plenty. So maybe there's just not a huge market above 64.
Yeah. You know, and I still haven't filled my 64 iPad or my 64 iPhone. So I suppose, yeah. And I'm, you know, Joe Media with respect to dumping stuff on there. So I guess, yeah, maybe that's pretty valid.
Huh. But I thought that iPod Touch introduction was pretty impressive. I mean, all the things that you can do now with a touch with the fifth generation, and I think Johnny Ive kind of killed it with all the colors and the wrist straps. I mean, visually, you know, that was a pretty cool looking intro, I thought.
Well, but you know what's funny about that is when I saw the colors, you know, my wife does color specification and design trend forecasting, and she thought the colors were just spot on. But also, when I looked at the colors and sort of had this visceral reaction to it, my daughter goes, "Yeah, but Dad, you have that same reaction to people that have tattoos or women that have tattoos." I go, "Okay, well, yeah." You know, 'cause she's got a couple of little ones, and I just, it's not my thing. But anyway, I could Phil with the pink one.
Thank you.
Doing Siri on his iPod Touch.
One thing that was interesting about it is they've really made the camera, I think, usable now. So a lot of people could just use the iPod Touch as a camera. Mm-hmm. So I think this is a point and shoot camera.
That's what they're going for. Yep. They're killing off the point and shoot camera even more with iPod
pretty
Touch.
Pretty much dead to begin with, but yeah.
Yeah, they're closing the Pro X stores. God rest their soul.
And then the other thing is that the pricing, they raised the price $100. Now you get 32 gigs of storage, not 8. And they've kept the old version for the $199 price point. Mm-hmm. And so looking at the pricing, I'm not sure if there's a place for a smaller iPad in there.
That's what I'm wondering. Aren't we getting $299? We're getting close to what the mini iPad was maybe going to come in at. Well, you think $399 or $349, or what do we think?
I thought it was going to be $299.
Is there going to be a mini? Because Tim, you were betting the farm on that one. That was your big thing.
I said that there would never be one. That's right.
I'm sorry, prediction. You did say that. Yeah. My apologies.
And I might have been right, actually.
But you waffled a bit on that.
The rumors were so strong. But one thing that I did read somewhere this week is you unlike the iPhone 5, you've not seen any parts leaks at all for the iPod Mini.
True.
So given that they just blew it out the other day with the iPhone and all the iPods, you know, everything gets upgraded, iTunes gets upgraded, all this stuff, I'm not sure if there's going to be another event. I think they're done.
Interesting.
And all we're going to see is the iPad 2. Maybe they'll do a promotion with that to drop it a little bit from $399, maybe like $50 or something. Mm. Maybe you get an iTunes card or whatever, but right now the pricing all lines up. So unless they're going to do a smaller version that's $399 and drop the iPad 2, I just don't see it. And then if they do that, I don't think there's enough difference to encourage someone that's price sensitive to buy into the Apple tablet line. I think if you're price sensitive, if they did that and you're price sensitive, you're going to go with Amazon or with Google because they're, you know, so much less expensive.
Yeah. See, I wanted to just mention a tool that I think that anyone who's doing any development or any training on any iOS app would want to know about this. And it's an app called Reflection. And you can have your iPhone or iPad show up on your Mac or PC, and it uses AirPlay, and so you can record. If you're doing a screencast, for example, you can actually record what's going on the iPad or the iPhone, or in this case, the iPod Touch, because that'll support AirPlay. And it's reflectionapp.com. It's like $14 for a single license and $50 for a multi-seat. Just a great little tool. I've been using it now for about a week and a half, and it works flawlessly.
That sounds like a good one.
Yeah.
The crowd went wild.
They did. Oh my God.
It's too early to get excited.
Oh, stop. You know? No, it's never too early to get excited.
That's right.
There are sites dedicated to that, Graham.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, man.
Actually, all right, let's talk about what's... Well, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, I was just reading about how Walmart's offering iPhone pre-orders for the first time, and even at discounted prices. And my thought is that I think they're going to clean Best Buy's clock on the iPhone 5 pre-orders. I'll put that in the show notes.
Oh, well, of course, if you pre-order there, you have to pull your pants down and wear just goofy looking stuff.
Where's
if you go to Walmart? No, I'm sorry.
Wear dark glasses.
Are,
and
we
pull profile, your...
are we profiling just a bit here? But I got to tell you, you're never disappointed when you go there. You say, oh, the stereotypes can't be true. You're never disappointed.
That's right, that's true, yeah.
Hey, listen, the other thing I think we needed to talk about is also the rollout, or at least the showing of, well, maybe it's the lack of showing of anything substantial from the Windows Phone 8 camp. I mean, Lumia, showcased the new Windows 8 phone, but didn't necessarily even turn it on. So what do you guys think? Is Microsoft really setting himself up to get hosed on this deal?
Well, you know, I'll let you, Tim, you'll weigh in, I know. But you know what I found interesting is, just like with the Slate rollout, when Apple does these rollouts, they tell you how much it's going to cost and when you can pre-order and when you can get them and what countries they're going to be available in, yada, yada. And you don't hear that from the other side.
No. Here's that opportunity with the whole Samsung Apple patent thing. There's an opportunity for Windows Phone 8 to jump in there. There is at least a little bit of buzz about design as far as what the new Lumias look like. They're a little bit more avant-garde, not insanely so, but it's just like, but we don't know when we're going to have it. We don't know how well it's going to work. And we really can't show you too much about it. So it's just, you know, come on, guys.
It was odd that they did it. They obviously wanted to get some news cycle before Apple released the new iPhone.
Right.
But it seems ill-advised unless you can have customers at least pre-order the thing.
But they keep doing it, Tim. That's what I...
Oh, I know. I know.
Why do they... Do
well, as you said a few weeks ago, they're on the road to blowing it, but they haven't really blown it yet. I think I've been clear that I think that Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8 is great.
Yep.
But I don't think they're going to see huge growth in the marketplace because the other two camps, the Android and the iOS camps, are so entrenched in the app ecosystem.
Yeah.
I just don't see a huge place there. Maybe there's a place for a third party, but Microsoft right now just does not have the apps, and that's going to kill them.
Yeah.
No matter how good the hardware is, the new Nokias look like it's fantastic hardware. The camera, especially on the new flagship. So, is there a place for Microsoft in the market? Probably at the low end, yes. You know, free or $49 phones, maybe up to $99. But as far as the flagship phones, I don't think so. I don't see it.
Yeah. See, I just wanted to also throw in one other thing.
And
I know this is one of your favorites, Tim, but I right now think that the absolute best tech coverage is The Verge.
No, it's the Minovate Gang podcast, for guys.
Well, besides that.
Yeah. Aside from that, The Verge is a good secondary source.
Are
yeah.
you talking overall, Steve? Or
I am.
Relating to Apple?
No,
or what
I'm saying overall.
Huh? Yeah, no,
I'm deeply impressed with the coverage, but also the videos. You know, they just cut to the chase. They get right into it, and it just feels like they're just driving all the time. And I really appreciate that, especially in a world where we all have less time to spend, you know, reading or watching videos or, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that, because I got a nice hit on The Verge for TST Media, as I recall, and I was impressed personally with that. That was 6 months ago. But yeah, they are a bunch of really smart journalists that launched that thing. Where did most of them come out of? Weren't they
Engadget?
Engadget, yeah.
By the way, the Engadget live blog I thought was friggin' awesome. Did you guys watch that one?
Yeah, I had four of them open at the same time.
Those guys were cracking me up. That Tim Stevens. I mean,
yeah.
Oh, I mean, it was like a stand-up comedy thing mixed in with a live blog, you know? I mean, it was just, and then they were answering each other in the blog from time to time. And, I had to send him some kudos after that. I mean, CNET was okay. And I didn't like Twit TV at all, though.
The puppet
avatar BS.
Oh, that was just stupid.
I shut that off. It's like, go away. You know, but
did you see the quick little blog post from MG Sigler about Josh Topolsky of The Verge?
No.
Did you see
recently?
That? Yeah. It was just what was it? Monday?
Yeah, they got into a pissing contest.
Yeah. Was like, you're not allowed to take pot shots and question the integrity of Josh Topolsky. Only Josh Topolsky is allowed to take pot shots and question your integrity.
Yeah.
I just thought that was interesting. Yeah, and then you brought up The Verge, I kind of saw that, remembered that post.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're all buddies, all these guys at the different blogs.
Well, I should also mention that I was over at the Verizon store getting some help, getting my account connected again, because
he was staking out his place to go pre-order. I bet you.
No, but there was a Samsung rep there that had a Galaxy S3 all fully connected and so on. And I had him walk me through it, and from a Samsung rep perspective. And I got to tell you that the geek in me absolutely loves Android and, you know, in terms of fiddling around and being able to do different things and customize it and all of that. But with the iPhone, I don't even think about it. And then when I think about the fact that my wife uses it and uses it well, and my 80-year-old aunt is going to go get one because she uses a Mac now and loves an iPad and is going to get an iPad. I mean, she's 80 years old, for God's sakes.
I got to tell you, though, I would, if I had, you know, if it weren't for the fact that the S3 is so fucking big.
Yeah.
Wow.
I would hop on
explicit
that thing
tag on the podcast.
I would definitely, I mean, sorry, it's just fucking big, but
it's large.
I would get that phone, but it's so.
Well, and you have
Una,
long,
come on, say you it with me now. Fingers. Fucking big.
Yeah.
Geez, I got three bleeps to do.
It's very large.
Well, I didn't know we were. I didn't know.
I think there's a market for a 4-inch phone. A lot of people criticize the iPhone as being too small, and then they made it, you know, a little bit bigger. And it just seemed to me like this was something that I could see Steve Jobs working on and saying, okay, we're going to make it just a little bit bigger, and we'll just make it taller, and that should, you know, that should solve most of the market problem. So, and I didn't see a lot of people talking about that, saying, you know, oh, this is too small. You know, everyone seems to be happy with the moderate size increase.
Well, I think that, you know, the quality of the screen is really what it's all about. And that screen, the iPhone screen, has always been incredibly sharp. It's easy. It's very easy to read regardless of its size. So,
I think the telling aspect of the Samsung rep is that he was using two hands. So I thought that was,
I mean, it's,
no, I'm serious. When he was, yeah, when so, he was holding it in his left hand and using his right hand to do everything.
He's poking it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the really only place that you can differentiate its size. So that's why the Android has gone there. If I were to buy a new phone today, I would probably get the HTC One S, which is actually, I think, right at 4 inches. It's the smallest smartphone on T-Mobile. because they have the S3 and, you know, all the other ones that are 4.5 inches and 4.7 inches, which I think are too big.
Interesting.
Why don't you just go back to your flip phone?
I might. It might be a rock in the razor here pretty soon.
You know, I'll tell you what.
It's in a drawer somewhere.
I have to end with a story. And the story is, I'm standing.
Tell us the story, Uncle Steve.
We're out in, I'm working for Newtek, you know, the video toaster people, and now they do the Newtek TriCaster that twit.tv uses and all kinds of different mobile people use, and they've got a new product. Anyway, but Tim Jennison and I are standing on the beach on Monterey Bay, and it's a beautiful moonlit night, and he takes out his Motorola flip phone and flips it down. And this was right when they came out. And all I could think about was, oh my God, this is like Star Trek. I mean, it really was at the time. And now people just laugh at it. You know, you look at the thing and you have to lift up the antenna and all that. And it's, you know, it, in some ways I feel like when I was listening to my grandparents talk about having a party line when they first got their phones.
Right.
You know, well, yes, when we were kids, you know, we had to live in, you know, and that kind of stuff. That's how it feels when I try to tell my kids about where things have come from.
Was the StarTAC was the phone to have.
Was a hot one for a while. Yep.
And then the Razor was the next one after that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what's coming up?
We've got lots of stuff happening. You know, it's amazing the difference a few months makes. We've got so much stuff coming up as far as events. Let's go ahead and you want to just highlight a few of them rather than.
Yeah, let's do that. Just the new ones.
The one coming up closest is September 22nd with the Bloggers Conference, which is a week from Saturday.
Yep.
And then let's talk about the new ones. We mentioned MobCon, obviously. What else is new on the list?
The MHTA open house.
Open house. Yep.
And the
October 3rd.
The U of M technology breakthroughs driving social innovations.
That's in the 28th. And that looks like it's very good. I signed up for that right away.
Yeah. MEMA Summit, of course.
Of course.
On the 10th. And
I know that there is another social media breakfast with our friend Julio Ojeda Zapata.
Oh, really? When's that?
Let me grab it. Hang on. Let me grab it real quick. It is, he's going to talk new gadgets, I believe.
Okay.
And tech trends and predictions with Julio Ojeda Zapata on the 28th.
Cool.
Which happens to be the same day of the MN Search event at Deluxe Corp in Shoreview. And we are going to be a community sponsor of that one. So the MinSearch.org site or organization is sponsoring that and bringing in some good out-of-town speakers. So that goes 8 to 5. So maybe we'll be moving from SMB onto that one day.
Perchance we might. All right. So lots of stuff coming up. So listen, thanks very much. It was an all mobile, all Apple, all the time sort of an episode. But join us next week on
the Minovate Gang podcast.
See ya.
All right. Take care.
That's great. Thanks.
Scream and yell, your body starts to sway. Well, your feet start moving, you're feeling the grooving and losing all control. It's the spirit inhibitions go. Sweet mother blues is calling her children home. Sweet mother blues is calling her children home. Spreading her wings like an old mother hen, calling you in to her fold. There'll be a family reunion between all the lost children and the orphans of rock and roll. Sweet mother blues is calling her children home.
Children home. Sweet mother blues is calling her children.